Dus Wallstraße Shuffle. At 10cc.
Atlantis here, Atlantis there, Atlantis in the air. Say no more. Know what I mean, know what I mean? Nudge, nudge.
Atlantis everywhere.
Say no more.
Actually, you might be interested on that jingle. That's Tony Houston and Adrian Van Lanschot singing, you see. And playing the piano. One of the things I wanted to say, actually, was to thank all the people who have supported us all the way along by writing very nice things about us. Mark Lett in Radio and Record Mirror, Dave Johns also, Chris Andrews in Disc, and of course the boys at Pirate Radio News, PRN, and not forgetting of course our most loyal listener, Buster down there in Benfleet in Essex.
Hello there, Buster.
And he's written an awful lot of very, very nice things in this magazine about us. So to everybody, and I'm sure I've left out quite a few people, to everybody, thank you very, very much for all the nice, kind, encouraging comments that you've said. Really, we really have tried very, very hard to provide some kind of alternative service. And we've tried very, very hard to sound like the Pirates of the 60s, which nobody else seems to have been able to provide the goodies on that point. But anyway, we've tried very hard to do it, and I'm glad that you've all enjoyed it. In fact, we do get an awful lot of listeners every week who write into us and say that. In fact, believe it or not, this I don't know if you saw this, Andy, but in the last mail that we had on board, somebody sent us a fiver, and somebody else sent us £3.
They did? Yeah.
I don't know why.
Where did you go?
I don't know really. Before. Anyway, we'll all get drunk on it. No, we won't really. It's when that sort of thing happens, you just blow your mind, because really,
that's really amazing, isn't it?
I'd never send money to a radio station, but I mean, some people must think an awful lot of us to do that. In fact, you know, I'm going to sort of try and arrange some T-shirts for the people who did send in some money. But
yeah, that would be a very nice thing to do, I think.
But that's really amazing when you get people like that. And other people who write every single week to you. For example, Mary Warner.
Oh, yeah, she's very good at writing letters.
All the disc jockeys. Dave, Andy, myself, Dave Owen. Everybody gets letters from Mary Warner, which is fabulous, really. Because she also listens to the other stations, you know, and she must write just as many to them. And the fact that she bothers, you know, sometimes the tender comes and there's 3 letters from Mary Warder for me, you know, and for the other guys too.
She wrote me a very nice letter actually when I got married, you know.
Really?
Yeah. She wished me, you know, very well with the marriage. So thank you very much, Mary, for the letter. And also Buster, you know, sent wishes. And, well, you know, there was, let's see, Record Mirror, they carried, they carried a little article on the marriage, you know.
That's right, and Disc
too. And so did Disc as well, so that's really amazing, you know, that people think enough of you, you know, to do that.
It really was, you know, I mean, everybody that I spoke to knew that you were getting married, although you hadn't said so that often over the air, you know.
I mentioned it only a couple of times, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I think the listeners as a whole, the listeners that we have got, are really, really, pleased, I think, most of them with what we're providing. But I hope that we can get better and better. I hope we won't stay still and just continue to provide the same service on and on and on.
So something else that blew my mind was AJ Burns, because I'd only met him once before.
Yeah.
Going through the Townsend ferry terminus, and he sent a very nice letter. You know, you wrote it out, do you remember, at the marriage?
That's right, yeah.
At the reception.
For the reception.
And he also gave a present as well, you know? And that really freaked me out, because, you know, I never expected him to do that. He's a really nice guy.
Actually, he's a really fabulous guy. The people who we've got, who are associated with the station and are doing things for us, I'm sure, are really amazing. AJ Burns, for one, he's been recording programs for us, and also lots of little jingles and things, and he sees us when we go off. And he's really superb. There's Don Scott in London, who's worked very, very hard giving us technical details, finding out pieces of equipment that we needed on board.
Tom Barker,
yes, yeah. Who's always running around for us. In fact, when you were off on your holiday, he came out to the ship to have a look at the transmitter because it wasn't behaving properly.
That's right, yeah.
And there are a few other people, actually. There's a guy called Scott Mitchell, as you know him, or Leon Tipler is his real name, and he lives up there in Kidderminster, and he's recording programs for us. He was recording programs for us. In fact, they stopped for a short time, but he will be recording programs once again. That guy went to a lot of effort to do his programs, and honestly, we really do appreciate it. We really do. And there are a few other people as well.
Say, Dave Townsend, who's doing a program now.
Yeah,
so
right.
Let's thank him a lot for that.
These are the few people who have recorded quite recently. Leon Tipler, what I'm talking about. Ray Warner, who in fact has provided us with quite a few little bits and pieces in the way of advertising. Really appreciate that, Ray. And I'll tell you what, now we'll play another record because I think we've been chuntering for about 10 hours. 10 minutes! And we'll be back after this. The Carpenters, and I won't last today without you.
Dig this!
And going back to what we were saying again about thanking everybody on shore, there are a few people, of course, who we've left out who are...
Let's see, Steve Taylor, who got some nice insulators for us, yes, and done quite a bit of running around for us, one way or another.
And also, I don't think that we really thank Buster enough, because in fact Buster put us in touch with a lot of these people who have been doing really good jobs for the station one way or another. Sorry, it's rocking around a little bit now, so we're all falling all over the studio. So Buster really has been the mastermind behind a lot of the problems that we got over.
Certainly, I think he's one of our best listeners, eh?
Well,
perhaps our best listener.
Yeah.
And given that credit.
He's really so involved in the station, it's unbelievable. We've been down to his house a couple of times, and he's a fabulous guy, he really is. Together with his aunt and his mother, they really do look after us, and also I think Buster works very, very hard. If there's any time a problem on board, one time I was up with Leon Tipler in Kidderminster. In fact, that was last week when the transmitter was off the air, and he telephoned me up there. I don't know how the hell he got the telephone number, but anyway, he phoned me up there and was able to tell me there was problems on the ship.
He's certainly very organised.
I think that's unbelievable, it really is.
He keeps a log of Atlantis. I think he also keeps a log for Caroline as well.
Yeah.
You know, every time we go off the air or the signal strength goes down, he logs it. And it's very useful to compare his log with our log.
Yeah.
It tells us a lot about how we're getting out, and that's how we keep the signal as good as we do.
Yeah, well, I hope it's really good at the moment. We're waiting patiently to find out if it's as good as we expect it to be now that this other station has moved. Well, I was just one thing else I wanted to thank, and that was, of course, Adrian, who provided the whole setup for the station. Adrian, it's Adrian's station, really, and I think he should be reasonably proud with what he's got. I think he's been fabulous in the way he's provided the station for us to work as a means for us to be able to do what we want to do. And also Janine, his lovely wife Janine, who's always working very, very hard for us one way or another. When we've been to their house, they invite us in, they give us big meals. You know, they're absolutely fabulous couple, they really are.
Let's thank everybody at Oostburg, and let's see, Fred van der Bos, the event builder, and everybody else.
Yes, not forgetting Christina, of course.
Yes.
Christian.
Or Tony Houston. Let's thank Tony as well, because he's done quite a lot. I think he, in fact, bought the ship in the first place. He was something to do with buying the ship in the first place.
I think it was Gerard van Damme, actually, who brought the ship. But
was it?
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, thanks to everybody in Oostburg, and thank you especially to Adrian for providing the station for us to work on. Yes, that's it. 8:10 on Atlantis, and here's the one-man band and Leo Sayer.
Well, everybody knows down like we're grown, you have to leap across the street. Is there anybody out there wanna lift me a hand?
Leo Sayer in touch of the old one-man bands. You want to be banned?
Well, I'm a one-man band.
7 before 8 on Atlantis, Music Radio 74, our very first birthday here, and Andy and I just sort of reminiscing about some of the times previously. Talking about the very first transmission of Atlantis, I was on board the Mi Amigo at the time, actually, just the day before the broadcast, and the initial idea was that we were going to put out 50 kilowatts on 259 with the English service of Caroline, and then on 389 or 385 as they called it, in fact it was 773 kilohertz, we were going to put out the Flemish programs, Radio Atlantis, you see. And because of the system which we've been using before to put out two sets of programs, which was in fact using the 50 kilowatt on low power and using the 10 kilowatt on its normal power, we were able to put the power through two sausages going to the top of the new mast. But when we turned up the power to 50 kilowatts, we weren't able to put those two through a sausage, you see, because you can't put 50 kilowatts through a sausage, or they couldn't anyway. So unfortunately that we had to abandon the 389 service, and that's the reason why all the stickers that you get from Radio Atlantis say 389 on them, you see. We've only just recently, Adrian's had some printed saying 312. But that's the original reason why we had the 389 business, because 385 right. Rather, because they expected to be on 389 and they were going to call it 385. But when they found out that wasn't possible, I left the ship, the Caroline ship, the day before. In fact, I left it about 1 o'clock in the morning, whereas Atlantis began at 12 midday. So I left Caroline just as that happened, and I think that was a really amazing trip, because I went back with Ronan and with Chris Carey and with little Louise and Kate. And it was in the Casanova, a small speedboat, which was going through the water, and there was phosphorescence in the water that night, and it was really amazing. It was just like, everything was lit up by VU, and we were going through pools of phosphorescence, you know. It was just absolutely incredible. And I saw the ship depart, and that's in fact the last time I saw the Mi Amigo, although I worked for Radio Mi Amigo for about a month. That's the last time I saw the Mi Amigo ship. And the following day I was in the flat in the Wolfsdorfer Weg with Kate and Chris, and we were listening, and on came Radio Atlantis from the tapes which we'd left on board. Norman Barrington first of all played an hour of George Harrison music, which he'd edited together because that's what Ronan wanted, and then on came Radio Atlantis, and the first program was in fact Peter Van Dam, or Peter Bryan, as he used to be known when he was on the Caroline ship. But Peter Van Dam was the first program, and of course Adrian came in the middle of it and said hello and so on, and it was really fantastic. I know that Ronan disappeared very early in the morning to try and get to the reception, but I think he arrived late. I think that's what Adrian was telling me. That was the first day of Atlantis. Now it's exactly a year later, and here we are with our own ship, our own transmitters, an English service, and I think that's not bad going for a year, is it?
No, I think that's pretty good, actually. And the ship, of course, has come together really in 7 months, or yeah. 8 months, something like that.
That's absolutely true. I don't think, you know, not wanting to blow our own trumpets too much, but I don't think that anybody really realises, apart from, for example, Vonnie and Jerry, in fact we've forgotten to thank them, because they do a hell of a lot for us, you know. They're the most important, hardest workers on the shore side to get things together for the ship. But I don't think that anybody realises quite how much work we've had to throw ourselves into. It hasn't just been a matter of coming on the air and doing programmes. Disc jockeys have had to build studios and paint walls and construct pieces of woodwork and, line their cabins, mend transmitters, haul masts up and down, and so on and so forth. It hasn't just been a matter of coming on, switching on, sitting down in the studio and going on the air every night. Very often when we've been on the air, we've been up for maybe 12 or even 15 hours doing work one way or another on the ship, you know. So I think that we deserve a jolly good pat on the back.
Pat on the back.
Thank you very much. I always wanted to put Patricia on the back. And now, I tell you what, I'll play this record and then I'll tell you the weather. How about that then, eh?
Good idea.
Yes, there we go, David Cassidy, and Please Please Me, or David Cassidy, or Hopalong Cassidy, whatever they call it nowadays. Anyway, I think Andy had something else to say about
our famous adventures on board this ship.
Right, let's start off on our first day of broadcasting from the Janine. Hey, how about that?
I wasn't there.
Well, I was, you see. And let's see, who was on board? I was on board. Johnny Dwyer was on board. I think Chris and John... No, Johnny Dwyer, was he on board? I'm not sure if he was.
Yeah, he was, actually.
Maybe Chris and John was on board, anyway. And anyway, we were going to broadcast, and really things weren't ready to broadcast. The generators weren't running properly. We had a very... the studio was just literally thrown together just to get on the air for Christmas Day. And it was Christmas Eve at that time, and
I remember you telling me the very first test broadcast, the day before the studio equipment arrived, were with a cassette recorder.
the one that we use for the news now. And we had a pre-recorded cassette. We had a James Last cassette and a Beatles cassette.
Yeah.
And Chris and John was freaked out because his cassette had All You Need Is Love on it, and apparently that's very free radio fanatic, eh? Anyway, we had broadcast on Christmas Eve, or I think it was Christmas Eve that we broadcast, very low power anyway, about 250 watts, using just this cassette recorder, and just trying the transmitter out, you know? And anyway... At about, I think it was about midnight, we decided to put some jingles out, the Radio Atlantis jingles that we'd had come out that day with the studio equipment, and we'd sort of just about knocked some sort of a studio together. Out of planks, you know? Literally out of planks. We had no sort of chipboard or anything like that, so we made it out of planks. And the arms, well, the record decks were left in their cardboard boxes and just balanced. And the arms were mounted on a piece of wood and sort of with a nail to stop them going too far. You know, very, very, just like, you know, Mickey Mouse, just like that. But anyway, I mean, the studio's very, very nice now. But anyway, we decided to put out a broadcast at Christmas Day, and we'd worked very, very hard to do that, even though the thing was very, well, it was a bit untogether, but... to say the least, you know.
The unbelievable thing about it, Andy, was that I was working in a hotel doing the discotheque over that period, and I got a phone call from Eddie Austin, and he said, "Radio Atlantis is on the air, Steve." And he actually spoke to Debbie, and I went upstairs and tuned to 270, and there was Radio Atlantis, and it sounded quite superb even then, you know. It sounded quite super. I would never realised what kind of studio equipment you were using.
I don't think people would. You know, I think you could sit up here with four cassette recorders, you know, and probably do quite professional programmes.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
And people wouldn't know. But in fact, we do have nice equipment on board.
Yes, we've gradually got it together. We've got the cartridge machine on. We've got a nice console now. Carpets in the studios, and we've lined all the studios. We've put panelling in the second studio. We've built boxes for the records. They're all very neat and tidy. So if ever you get a chance to have a look at the Janine, well, you know, come past it. And
I think there's a boat that comes out from Flushingham that you can sometimes get on.
Yeah, the Barracuda, actually. I don't think it's specifically to go out to the ship, but it does come past the ship.
It's a fishing ship.
Yeah, fishing ship. But it very often anchors very close to the ship, so you could always ring them up. It's the Barracuda in Vlissingen, and if you could always go down to the harbour and just ask, you know, and see if the ship is going out that day, and if it's coming near to Atlantis, because it anchors very short way away, and usually they take photographs and so on.
Getting back very quickly to the first day's broadcasting, we in fact put out jingles for about 10 minutes, the Atlantis jingles. We had a spool of jingles, so we put those out. And then Chris St. John decided to get into a microphone trip, and he thought, well, it's time to open the station up, you see. And so rather than just put out continuous music, which would have been the sensible thing to do, he decided anyway to get to the Crispin St. John show. And so the Crispin St. John show started just shortly after midnight that night, and he got through about four records, and he started playing You've Got Your Troubles by the Fortunes.
Yeah.
And the generator went on fire. We had to go off the air.
I remember coming on when I first came on the ship, and that is after you've been broadcasting for a couple of weeks. The thing that amazed me was how few records you had.
Oh, no records at all. Hardly any records
half
at all.
Half a dozen records, and that was about it, wasn't it?
Yeah. We'd scream to Gerard Van Damme, you know, and we'd get food and things like that. And we'd say, well, Gerard, you know, can you get us the top 40? And he'd say, things like that are not important. It's important that you eat, but it's not important that you have the top 40.
He tried very hard, actually. That's it. Dear old Gerard.
He's a very nice guy, actually. Seems very nice guy.
And he owns a shop in The Hague called the Boom Boom Shop, so if ever you go there...
Reklam Handelbachteam.
In Den Haag.
Yes,
we know that one. Very well, indeed. 20 minutes now past 8 o'clock. Let's get on with music now. And this is Psychomodo.
This is a fire!
You're listening to the very first birthday of Radio Atlantis. Hopefully there'll be lots more. And here's Cockney Rebel for you. That's Psychomodo, or Psychomodo by Cockney Rebel. I was going to say Judy T. That's on
Radio Atlantis. Let's go.
Andy's got a bit of a cold, so Andy, if you wouldn't mind blowing your nose. That's it, well done. Okay, good idea. Right, you can speak now if you want to.
Well, I thought we'd reminisce about Break Our Anchor Chain. What do you think of that then?
Bad idea.
You can reminisce, mate. Is that the word?
No. Reminisce.
Reminisce, that's the word.
Well, actually, there's been two occasions where you've nearly lost it.
Well, the first occasion was way back in the history of the Janine. I think it was about February sometime. And there was a big panic anyway. They thought they were going to lose the anchor chain. And they thought that it was going to break away from the ship. We come through a hole in the side of the ship, the anchor chain, and then up through the top of the front part of the ship, and then it had a couple of bars that go through the chain.
Yeah, to stop it going
stop
down.
It going down
we've got
hole.
No real winching system or anything like that. The chain's too big for that.
In fact, the chain's, well, it's outsized, isn't it, for the ship? It's
far
larger than it should be for the ship this size. But anyway, what happened in the middle of a storm was that the pin that holds the anchor chain began to bend, and it began to disappear down the hole. And of course, everybody was in quite a lot of panic.
Complete panic, yeah.
And I woke up to find this panic going on the ship. And well, you know, everybody, they just thought they needed a lifebelt boat. You know, they didn't think to try and find something else to put through the chain. They were in so much of a panic that they just thought, well, you know, get a lifeboat, get a tendrils, anything, you know, get us off this damn ship, you know. That was mostly Chris and John, you know. Anyway, perhaps we shouldn't slam him so much. Anyway, but I had to go out and, well, I went down into the engine room and I found this dirty, great, big spanner about, oh, let's see, 3 feet long.
Yeah, there are a few very, very old rusty spanners from the old ship's engines down there, and I've seen that spanner actually.
I was still in my underpants, you know, because I've been sleeping in my underpants, and disgusting habit, eh? Anyway, I went down to the engine room in my underpants.
Don't say you don't wear pyjamas.
And I never do, actually. Never do. No. And anyway, I got this spanner, and I came up and I walked along the deck and I put it into the chain. Of course, that was the panic over. But nobody had thought to do that.
No, that's true.
They were all just running around in circles panicking, like a load of children.
Weren't you a clever boy?
What a clever fellow I am, you see?
Big round of applause.
Don't panic me. Thank you.
It's amazing what you can do with Echo, isn't it?
That was incredible, isn't it?
The second time we lost our anchor wasn't so much fun, actually, because we nearly ended 2 miles from the beach.
Well, we did end up 2 miles from the beach.
Well, we nearly ended up on the beach. But luckily the rest of the chain stuck in the shallow water and we were okay. But that was a real panic. And
that was only weeks ago, wasn't it?
And Adrian flew overhead and found us in his plane, which was rather amazing. Because we didn't know where we were, you see. We had a chart, but we drifted so far north that we didn't, it wasn't all, we were off the map, you see. Anyway, I tell you what, we'll pack it in there and just wish everybody on shore the best of luck for the future, whatever happens to us. And thank you very much to the listeners, all of you out there, for listening to us. We've really appreciated, you know, that you're listening there, because we have put a lot of hard work into it. And thank you very much to Adrian for providing the station for us to work on. So that's about it, I think, really, unless you've got anything else to say.
No, I just second what you've said, you know, really.
That's it, then. Thank you very much to everybody, and maybe we'll be here next year, too.